Okay, Blake, I've been working on some jingles for our new website launch. So I've got churchy, churchy, church, church gear.
Toby, what have I told you about singing on the podcast? It doesn't work. But you know what is working? Our new website. You can actually get it to load on your phone. You can actually buy a new piece of gear without your phone bursting into flames.
Well, what if I spelled it out like C-H-U-R-C-G-E-R?
Toby, stop. That is not working. But you know what is working? The search bar on our website. You can actually search speakers and speakers will appear. No joke, that didn't always work.
Okay, what if I just did something like go to churchgear.com?
You know what? That one works.
Blake, when I say I'm going to Blitz Denver, what comes to mind?
Well, Blitz is a football term. Toby, why are you trying to sack Denver?
Welcome to the Church Gear Podcast, where we pull the tech out of the booth and onto the stage to share the most outlandish stories and hidden wisdom from the tech trenches. And now, here are your hosts.
I'm your host, Blake, a man who doesn't understand why Toby is trying to tackle the entire state of Denver, and I'm here with my co-host, who believes he is strong enough to body the entire state, which I now realize is a city, Toby Walters.
So, first off, yes, Denver is a city, not a state. What state is Denver in?
It's in Colorado. There's a lot of states, though. I really want to throw this out here that are the city is so the only thing in that state that that's what you think of. I'm not saying that's Colorado, but we all know those ones that are out there looking at you, Little Rock, Arkansas.
And also, I think this is the first podcast ever that you said, I'm your host, Blake, and you didn't say your last name.
Last name's unimportant.
Everybody's wondering right now, did we finally replace that Hodges guy with a better Blake?
Dude, if you could find a different Blake who could also impersonate me, that'd be a really good hire for you.
That would be pretty impressive.
The problem is you couldn't get him for less money than me since I pay you to work at Church Gear.
Okay, so Blake, I like to do what I call city blitzes, and where I go to a city and I visit a whole bunch of churches in like 3 days, and I call them a blitz. And I watch football. I know some of those terms.
I knew this was a Tobyism. Okay. I like this Toby term. It makes sense now that you've explained it.
So my most recent blitz, depending on when this episode comes out, but was I went to Denver and I got to visit a whole bunch of our friendly church partners in Denver. Blake, you've been to Denver once now?
Yeah, once with you. And it was amazing. I had a great time. You didn't invite me back on the second trip.
No.
So I know how it went for you.
Yes. And there are a lot of great cities in America, and I'm going to totally put Denver in that category. I've been there, I'll just call it twice, because really I've been there three times, but the third time was just essentially at the airport.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
And it's one of those cities where I wish I had a reason to go there more often. Like I wish instead of, and my dad listens to this, Dad, can you move to Denver so I can visit you in Denver rather than in Dallas-Fort Worth?
That would be amazing. Denver has the prettiest yellow fall leaves I've ever seen. And it has Nick Kofall, who I like talking with. So, I mean, take me to Denver.
Nick is a total stud. And I did get to go back to Summit and see some of our friends. Nick wasn't there. He was out of town. But I got to visit, Flatirons Church. You remember Tyler Kaneshiro, our boy?
Oh, tech, yeah. Talked to Tyler on the phone recently.
Went to Cherry Hills, so this might be confusing for some of our listeners. I went to Southeast Christian, and they're like, how did you go to Louisville when you were in Denver? But there's a Southeast Christian in Denver as well. And our buddies there, Eric Dobbs and the team, great guys. And I got to, for the first time, visit, it's called Brave Church. And so Brave is one of those churches that launched about 10, 12 years ago, and they just had explosive growth. Like they're doing things right. And so, the spirit is moving and people are coming. And so, Blake, as you can imagine, I can't imagine that you get this having worked at Church Gear, but sometimes things work better than you think they're going to work. And then they grow like crazy and you have to figure it out as you go.
And sometimes more is not always better, or it is, but it's more painful than you imagined.
So Rob McTavish is the production director at Brave Church. And Rob came out of Flatirons. He was there for 10 or 12 years. And so he has this incredible wealth of knowledge and experience, and then comes into this crazy moving, fast growing young church that he's having to help balance with experience with all this youthful energy. It's kind of like you and I, Blake. What do you think?
Bull crap, Toby. You have youthful energy. You're a dichotomy. You got to go to sleep by 8, but you have as much energy as the next guy.
I mean, that's kind of why we brought in, Deshaun and Frank and Dan. Like, let's get some like actual business experience in here to balance out Blake and I's absolute chaos.
You need some adults in the room every now and then.
Yeah. So Brave Church, they also inherited, well, I won't say inherit, like they actually swapped buildings with an older church. The older church said, hey,
we've traded buildings.
Yes. The older church said, we've got this big building that we built in 1976 and we have long since, what's the opposite of outgrow something?
Shrank.
Yeah.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
So they're a much, much smaller congregation than they used to be. And the building was way too big for them. So Brave Church moved into this building built in 1976 and like hung a huge elacoustic rig with 16 subs. So it's fascinating to go into this, what feels like what I grew up in, but with all this current technology.
That sounds like a daydream of a tech kid your age growing up in that time of like, what if this had been in my church? You got to literally see that.
And of course, none of that technology existed when I grew up. But yes, it was fascinating to see. And of course, they have all these unique challenges of almost a 50-year-old building with this new technology. So like I asked him, does your Elacoustics PA sound as good as it looks? And he says, well, the PA does, but the room is not tuned for it at all. Like it was built 50 years ago. And so it's so interesting to see current technology in old spaces, and just, it's a unique challenge I hadn't even thought of.
Man, it's really tough when you mix cool stuff. You know, one could say like me, for example, with old stuff like you.
Am I old stuff?
You're Grandpa Toby.
Look at me.
All right. Speaking of stuff that's not old stuff, though, is the general manager of church relations, or that guy that does that thing at Houseright, Luke Hesher. Luke, welcome to the podcast, man.
Yo, guys. How's it going?
So, Luke, do you identify as old stuff or new stuff?
Oh, man. I was looking at buying a home here recently, and someone said, gosh, this home is really old, and it was built in 88, which is the same year I was born. And I was a little offended. I'm like, come on, this is like just becoming mature. I think this is a good time. But not
so right. Around Houseright, are you like kind of in the older camp, or are you in the younger camp?
Ooh, I'm like right in between. We've got people in their 50s leading things, and we've got everyone from, you know, 20-year-olds and up. So I'm kind of in the middle there.
Blake, would you say you're older young camp or in the middle now?
You know, being at 30, hard to say. I definitely feel more in the middle. The kids these days in the tech lab will say a term, and I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. Weren't you shocked the other day that somebody didn't get a cultural reference that you understood?
Yeah, and now it was from a really crass movie that I watched in middle school that I shouldn't have, so maybe that was just them being a better Christian than me, which is probably true. But
it doesn't take much, Blake.
It doesn't, and it hurt when they didn't know my reference, so I now know how you feel, Toby.
Yeah. Luke, being in the middle at Houseright, does that kind of give you access to both the old and the new references?
Oh man, I don't know. I'm not great on pop culture, honestly. So I tend to just kind of miss both of them at times. But the thing I'm shocked about is when people don't even like get the Office references, which was such a staple, like for me and others, you know, in college and that kind of stuff. But I don't know.
Blake, what was step one when you got hired here?
Fill out my W-2 for $0 a year. But number two step was to watch The Office.
He watched all 9 seasons of The Office while, listing gear on eBay and Reverb?
You know, some things don't scale. You know, we talk about, like, growing pains. We used to have to manually copy-paste all this info onto all these platforms. But I watched The Office. You know who couldn't watch The Office, though, is Luke, because on his 5 Truths and a Lie, his first one is, I don't own a TV.
Wow, look at that segue, Blake. I'm honestly a little impressed by
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
It only took 110 episodes. Number two, on a whim, I moved overseas when I was 17.
Are you even allowed to do that?
He could fit right in Ireland. Number three, I got my start in production running slides on an overhead projector.
Blake, what's an overhead projector?
That's the projector that is over my head and gives me anxiety. I'll tell you guys, working at church here now, I look up all the time in venues. And I'll see these speakers hanging, and I'm like, nope, I'll switch seats.
That's why licensed integrators exist.
And I am so thankful for licensed integrators. Number four, one time I got fired for calling my senior pastor a...
Say it. Don't bleep it out.
A bastard?
Yes.
Okay. Number
five. I so want that to be true.
Number five, once I worked too many late... once I worked too many late nights on a Christmas production and started hallucinating. That's probably why I called a senior pastor a bastard. Number six, I'm working towards exploring every national park in the U.S. with my family.
That sounds like a fun one. All right, Blake, I'll let you go first. I don't necessarily have one.
I'm going to say the fourth one, the insult to his senior pastor, that's the lie. And he's like, I'm going to go for it here.
Okay. I'm wavering between the first one and the last, but I'm going to say that he does own a TV.
See, I left that because I thought, what if this dude has like a computer monitor that's real big that he's hooked up? Okay, Luke.
Totally. That could work.
Toby's got the no TV and I've got the no getting fired.
Oh man. So the one lie here is getting fired for calling my senior pastor a bastard.
Yes, I finally got a point.
I wanted that story.
Yeah, so that I didn't get fired, but I did call him that.
Yes.
I'm gonna try this out on Toby later.
It was pretty great.
Blake,
so
let me preemptively say you're fired. Yes, please give us
more
a story.
Than anything on earth.
So I was running late to a couple meetings and I was in the car driving to work and I had a meeting first thing with my pastor. And so I grabbed up my phone and just voiced a text and said, "Hey pastor, I'm running a few minutes late. I'll see you soon." And so I get to the office and I come in the door and my pastor busts out of his office and because he saw me walk in, busts out of his office and just started dying laughing. And he's like, did you see what you texted me? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, look at your text. And I looked at it and I was mortified because my text to speech totally failed me. And it said, "Hey bastard, I'm coming in late. I'll see you soon."
That's amazing.
Voice to text will do that. That's how Tech Yeah got started. I tried to say heck yeah to Toby and it turned into Tech Yeah. You just never know what the voice to text will do. Toby, you're a big voice to text guy. You ever sent something crazy to someone?
All the time.
All right. Well, yep.
So was this like a running joke for a long time with you guys? Did he have a fun pet nickname for you after that?
We had quite a few chuckles about that, but it was a good time. I was just really thankful he was so gracious and like had a good sense of humor about it.
So Blake, I need to just, you know, stop and take note right here that you won this round of Five Truths and a Lie. I just want to recognize that you finally won one. I give you this point.
Things are going too good. You said I had a good segue. I won this point. Something very bad is going to happen to me later on.
I'm totally
on
setting
episode.
You up for the actual firing everybody's been waiting for. Okay, so Luke, explain to Blake what an overhead projector is.
Oh man, yeah. So like back in the day, I was that kid sitting on the front row that had the projector that you had to put transparencies on top of to like cast the lyrics up on the old dingy brick wall for everyone to sing whatever songs it was that we were singing back then.
Yep.
And occasionally, you know, did like hand motions on the projector and all that kind of stuff. So
shadow puppets.
Awesome.
Blake, can you see it in your head now?
I can, but now I'm thinking that's a logistical nightmare. Like through the whole song, you're having to put a different slide on this for someone to sing the lyrics.
It was usually one slide per song because, I mean, they're 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper that you're, I mean, they're transparencies, but that's usually the size of them. So
it put all the lyrics up for one song.
Yeah. Is that how you remember it, Luke?
Yeah. And then you might move it for like the verse and the chorus.
Yeah.
Like
that's what I was envisioning.
The top or whatever it was. Yeah. But it would just be one slide. So that was awesome.
We don't miss those days.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun. But what does sound fun is you hallucinating. So tell us about you hallucinating from a Christmas
production.
What'd
you see?
It was the 80s, man. Gosh. It was the 80s.
Yeah, so that was early on in production. I was working at a church and we did production at a pretty fun and large scale and all that kind of stuff. And I was doing about 90 hours a week for weeks on end. And it finally just caught up to me. And one night when I was going to bed, I ended up seeing these just crazy images that I thought were real. And so I was driving down the road trying to get away from these things that was like chasing me. And anyway, it was a crazy deal, but came to realize it's not probably a great idea to work that much and, you know, maybe work a little smarter instead of just harder in the future. So,
so you could like legit write a book that says church productions like being on LSD.
Or church production almost killed me. I mean, that's terrifying. You're in a you're operating heavy machinery while running from hallucinations from a church Christmas production stint.
Oh, man.
Wow.
The things you do, right?
Did you make the call of saying, hey, I need to pull back a little bit so I don't kill myself and work a few hours less going forward?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, that probably took me way too long to learn was the balance, right? In production, it's always difficult where you go, like, there is this connection correlation between what we do and the effort we put in, the experience people have, and the fact that salvations, like, are the thing that we're driving for, right? And so what we're doing really matters, and we have a lot of passion about it, but there's a balance in there too. And yeah, it took me a little bit too long to figure that out. At one point, I remember driving home, and it just hit me that I wonder if all this work that I'm putting in is really because of calling and passion and what I'm supposed to be doing, or am I doing all of this because there's some pride, there's some ego, there's something else at play here too. So that was a pretty pivotal moment in my life to try to figure out, okay, we've got to do really well. Like, services are crazy important, right? But also there's these other things that we can't outsource. There's these other things that are really important to, like, our families that, you know, no matter what, we can't bring someone else in to help with our family, right? So how do we not miss those things? How do we get critical things in our life, like sleep and exercise and hobbies and fun, and not neglect that stuff while also crushing it at ministry?
So you said that took you a long time to learn. Give us a bit of a snapshot of just your background, your experience at Church Tech that led up to today, and we'll eventually figure out where that marker is in the timeline where you learned that balance, or if you, if you're still, pushing that envelope some weeks.
Yeah. I think it's something that you always like are working on finding balance in, right? But, yeah, so I got my start in worship. I thought that's what God was calling me to. I went to college in Hillsong, Australia. So I did move overseas when I was pretty young and didn't have much of a plan. And I thought I was going to be a worship leader. And so it was pretty quick, actually, when I got to Hillsong and had all the students there, that I realized I was not on the top charts of musicians. And so I tried to switch to pastoral ministry or missions or something else. And I talked to the leadership at the college, and they said, you know, let's pray about this and we'll see. And I said, oh, okay. It feels like a really churchy answer when I'm just trying to change, you know, what my focus is. And so anyway, so we came back a week later and I was like, okay, so where are the forms? What class are we going to do? And they said, oh no, actually we prayed about it. And God said, you're going to stay in, you're going to stay in worship. And I was like, what do you mean? And so that was a little bit of a left turn. So anyway, I stayed in that, didn't really understand why. Got back to the U.S. and got my first job, which was just, I was looking for anything I could do at church. I knew I was supposed to be in ministry. I was looking to invest in that way. And the first opportunity I had was in production. I was the guy that duplicated CDs and then also they needed help running monitors. So I don't know that there's any normal title out there or job description of like running monitors and duplicating CDs, but that's what I got started in doing. And then moved my way through production to pretty quickly started leading teams and overseeing weekend experience and creative teams for the last several years. So I was at James River Church in Missouri and then a place called Christian Life Center in Dayton, Ohio, and got to do fun things out there. And then most recently at Mariners Church in Irvine, California. And so that's a little bit of my story there.
Yeah. And give us a quick snapshot of your role currently and what you typically get to do on a day in and day out or weekly basis.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so our team gets to work with churches. So that's really, almost the only thing we do. So, we do audio, video, lighting integration work with churches, particularly when they're doing major renovation and new construction. So my part in that is on the front end side of the conversation and leading part of our team that goes out and helps churches understand when they're doing projects like this, what are their core values? Like, what are they trying to accomplish within their weekend experience? Not just what's the widget, what's the thing that we're going to go install and throw in the room, but like, hey, what are we trying to accomplish? What's our strategic priorities? Who's going to be using this system? What does this look like in 3 to 5 to 7 years down the road? And how do we make sure that we're guarding the right priorities, not just whatever the fun new hot equipment is? So my team helps on that front end side to conceptualize and figure out what we're trying to do and move the ball down the court. So
it's fun. Luke, do you ever do city blitzes like I was talking about? Go to a city and visit a whole bunch of churches?
Yeah, we do pretty often.
Do you have like common hurdles that you see coming up over and over again? Is it always something different, or do you start to see some themes that you're like, oh, yep, I can help with that?
Yeah, man. It's pretty varied. There's all kinds of needs out there, but I would say that it's pretty consistent that when we're talking to churches, they're a lot of times figuring out, how do we do this better? I think everyone's trying to figure out that. And what's the path forward? Is it gear? A lot of times when we're in the conversation, that's what they're aiming at. And some of the times that's exactly it. And sometimes it's training, right? Like, just maybe we don't need all new gear. Maybe we just need to use what we have, maybe different or better. And then other things we see pretty often too is just, when is it time to patch a system? Or when is it like, when have we put too many patches on? And now's the point where you go, no, we just need to rip them all off and start again. There's a whole bunch, but those are a couple that we come up to quite a bit.
I like this patch idea, because Blake, we see this a lot at Church Gear. Like, we're a very new organization, so we put a lot of patches on things to keep it working until, you know, at some point somebody wiser than us says, maybe we need to rebuild this only.
Maybe we should stop duct taping the Titanic, for example.
And so, Luke, what are some of those telltale signs, perhaps, if you can think of them, that, you know, you could encourage our listeners? This is where you should start being concerned that, like, a patch isn't going to get you through. You need to try and figure out how to rebuild the whole Titanic or get a new boat.
Yeah. Well, just a couple of years ago, we had a church call us, a relational connection that we knew, and said, hey, we've got a few things that aren't working right. Can you come out and talk to us about that? And I was, yeah, absolutely. Glad to take a look. And like, we'll send you a list. And it was like a microphone over here and a couple patch points aren't working over there. And they've got this one SDI thing that's not working there. And a camera has a bad monitor over here. And it was all just like these little things that they were really focused on. How do we just fix those? Mm-hmm. And so we got to go out and meet with them, take a look at their room, and then mostly listen to them. Like, hey, what's the pain points? Like, what are the challenges you're having on a weekly basis with an experience? Like, the Sunday morning, does it feel the way you want to in the room? And they're like, no, it's not. And, so talking through all the things, ended up finding out that, you know, most of that staff wasn't there when the systems were replaced. These things are like over 15 years old. And they have already patched it so much, and they were on this trajectory toward continuing to patch it just at the cost of failure. And things were failing every week, but they just got so normalized to failure that they assumed that that's normal. Like, nah, it's technology. Massive failure happens every week, and that's normal. And it's like, well, I don't know that it does, but, or it doesn't have to, at least, right? So anyway, that was a really fun story of getting to meet with the team, understand what they're trying to do, see the state of their systems, and then actually ask and go, hey, we can go down that route. Maybe here's what that would look like. Here's some pros and cons, or we can go down this route. And really, you know, you've got a car with 300,000 miles on it and all the check engine lights are on. You need to replace your transmission and your tires are gone. Like, we can go do all that, but gosh, is this the vehicle we want to invest in? And is this actually still accomplishing our mission of how we're trying to get down the road? Mm-hmm. And for them, the answer was no, actually it's not. Like, this is keeping us back from getting where we're trying to go. So that was a fun thing of them like discovering, here's what our next steps are. And so anyway, they were able to implement and that's been a really fun journey to get to watch.
I assume oftentimes when you're having these conversations, you know, if they're thinking in advance, well, we just need these few patches made, and they probably have a, you know, a dollar figure in their head. But when the conversation goes down the line of like, you know, if you're not achieving your vision, then we need to look at doing something vastly different. And they start to think of, well, we can't afford that. You know, what do those conversations look like to try and help just wrap their mind around how do you do, you know, capital campaigns, or how do you convince your people that this is a project worth getting behind? You know, do you have a lot of those conversations with churches trying to help them pay for that vision, so to speak?
Ooh, that's good. No, we don't do the capital side of it. So we don't get into that. But I think the main thing that we try to have conversations around is like, what are you trying to accomplish? And it is really hard. If they've already gotten to this point and they're trying to replace a few things and they have X dollars available to go do that, it's a little hard to back up at that point. And we're not like, I don't think any of the conversation should be about what they have to do, but just laying out the options. And so I think for us, a lot of that is just, hey, what are we trying to accomplish? Is doing that going to get us there? And just knowing, like having someone that can help you consider what the options are, and really what's going to create the win, you know, is replacing just a couple amplifiers, but leaving the rest of the system in place as is with failure rates as high as they are. Is that really going to be success in 2 or 3 years from now? And if so, then great. Like, let's help you maximize and do that really well. And if the answer is no, then we just, you know, help them go down that track.
Yeah. One thing I hear a lot at churches is I'll walk through and I'll get the tours, and there's certain things they like about their systems. There's certain things they don't. And one thing they constantly say over and over again on things they don't like is, yeah, I don't like it, but that's the way the person before me wanted it and put it into place. Is there a way to mitigate this reality? Like, do you advise people on, I understand you like it that way, but let's look at it and the long-term health of your production people.
Yeah. Oh gosh. We see that a lot too. It's complex, right? And there's so many options out there. It's not like there's one right choice. And actually, in ways, it would be easier if there was just one right choice.
Yeah.
I mean, the one right choice is the house right. I mean, you got to start there, but...
That's funny. I think there's ways to do it in which people are putting together systems of all of their favorites. It's like they're going shopping at O'Reilly's for all their favorite parts. And they're hoping that somehow that builds them a sports car. And they've never seen a sports car before. And they don't know what parts it takes to build that. I mean, you can get the coolest parts and it doesn't actually make the best car, right?
Yeah.
And not to say that's all of them out there or anything like that. But there is a way that, and I've been prone to this in the past too, is you build systems around your preferences and what you know and what you like, as opposed to like what is holistically going to work together best. Maybe stepping back from technical preferences and going, hey, what's leadership trying to accomplish here? Like, when we look at the scope of our experience and what the priorities are on Sunday morning inside the room, what are they really trying to accomplish? And does this kind of a system help us sustainably get there over the long term? You know, are we looking for the best audio console that with all the tools and all the amazing things built into it, because you can run it and you're smart enough to do it? Or are we looking for that console that is going to be reliable, it's going to get the job done? Gosh, it sounds good. Maybe it's not on every tour, but it's a sure heck of a lot easier to train volunteers on. And if you get hit by the bus on Sunday morning, gosh, you can get any of those jokers out there to come in here and they can run that console on Sunday morning. And someone doesn't have to have a degree to step in here and go, golly, how do I make this thing happen? So, you know, I think it is a lot about, not about preference, but about what are we trying to accomplish here? Like, what's the vision? What are the values that we're trying to protect? And then also, as all of us making these decisions, recognizing that there's a lost opportunity cost of all these decisions that we're making, right? Like, you guys see that? Like, how often do churches get the opportunity to do a big replacement? You know, whether that's just a console, or whether that's building a new building. Like, geez, that's fun. I've gotten to be a part of that several times at churches. And at the time, I'll be honest, it probably didn't hit me as strong as it should have, of the weight of the decisions I was making, because I'm going to be making decisions that people downstream from me are going to be living with for 10 to 15 to 20 years. Because if we get it wrong, it's not like a lot of businesses or organizations where they go, ah, bad decision, you're fired, let's get some new gear in here and make it right. A lot of times it's the lost opportunity cost of going, you know what? We don't like that system. We don't like that. But instead of paying more money to replace it, we're just going to live with it now for 10 to 15 to 20 years until it just totally flat out dies. And then we come in and replace it. So, I mean, it's these opportunities we have are both really fun, but they're pretty weighty too, because it's going to be sitting in that room for quite a while.
Yeah, I was thinking, I love the analogy of just grabbing your favorite parts at O'Reilly's to build a sports car, but you've never built a sports car before. And I'm also thinking of the brand new tech that comes into a church. He has the least amount of trust and the smallest voice of anyone to be able to say, hey, this system is just not well thought out. And so, I mean, what a difficult situation to be like, well, nobody knows me here. I don't have any history with the pastor to tell him, hey, I know your previous guy thought this was a good idea, but this is not going to work for our vision. You're kind of throwing him into a terrible spot.
Yeah. Cool. What advice do you give that guy? That's like, that guy, that girl, whoever is in that position where now they are living in the world of tech that does not work. And now they are the ones that have to live in it, even though they didn't make the decision.
Yeah. Gosh, that's a great question. Well, I think one, it's crazy important that we aren't people that always throw the gear under the bus when there's failures. Now, a lot of time it might be the fault of the gear, right? But sometimes it's a failure to plan on our side, to put contingencies in place, to have backup systems in place, because everything fails at some point. It's just, did we anticipate that failure or not? Like, it's going to happen. But I think there's that, there's the planning on, and there's the training side too. And even just having a community, having people around that can help, that are down the road, maybe a little bit further than you, that can help coach and share and transfer knowledge and advice to say, hey, if I had this system in this way, in this room, maybe here's what I'd start at. Here's what I'd be looking at. One of the cool things with how networked we are right now in this world is that there are so many great churches doing awesome things. And it's pretty easy to find those people out there and be connected. That I think one of my biggest recommendations would be build a network, like build friends at churches similar sizes of you, help churches smaller than you, be collaborating with churches bigger than you that have been a few years down the road, a little bit further than you, because there's no reason to invent the wheel on our own. Likely, someone's already figured this problem out, right? So just being resourced with, if there is some challenges we're constantly butting up against, maybe someone else has already solved this and figured it out. And if it's not on that side, and if your community, your crew goes, no, that's actually a problem. You know, I think the other thing that's really important is making sure that we're equipping and empowering our executive teams with a plan and a roadmap for what maintaining these kind of systems looks like. Because you guys are from churches, you guys know it, like executive teams, a lot of them are in the place they are because they've been doing this a long time. They have great experience. And most of them have a good handle on what it costs to maintain facilities, right? Like they can look at a parking lot and it's amazing. I've sat in those meetings and they go, oh, I bet it's going to cost X amount of dollars to repave the parking lot. It's like, how did you? And they're usually pretty accurate. Like they're like spot on, and are like, we need to paint the whole first floor, and it's probably going to cost this much. And like, they're spot on. Mm-hmm. They can guesstimate that. But when it comes to technology, there's such a black hole. Technology wasn't as big of a part or a role as it is today, 20 years ago. So there's not that history. And a lot of times it doesn't scale from other businesses these teams might come from, for how integral these systems are and what we do. So a lot of times, facility costs and technology costs are two of the highest costs within churches. And so what I'm getting to is that, if we're not building out a roadmap, if we're not leading up really well to help clarify and communicate and set our executive team up for success, then they're just staring into a black hole and they don't really know how to help their technical teams very well. And so oftentimes that leads to us getting a black eye because, you know, maybe we're that crew that's known as they always just want more money, mm-hmm. or they just like the shiny new toys or whatever it is. And that's not really the case, right? Like we want to do our craft with excellence and the best we can. And so we can help a lot by just building plans and helping to coach up and letting our teams know how we can create the level of success and experience that senior leadership is asking for and the resources required to get there.
So I think this is such a fun opportunity to turn the spotlight around to the senior leadership. Even the senior pastor can often, because, you know, I identify a bit with a senior pastor just being the founder and visionary of ChurchGear, that, you know, I'm kind of that person driving the vision. And so I get distracted by shiny, fun toys. And so, Luke, right. I don't know if you've ever gone to a church and thought, you know, why do you have a 20-year-old point source audio system that's failing, but you have five brand new LED screens? And they say, because that's what the senior pastor wanted. So, you know, what advice do you have to production people to lead up, to coach up, to help their senior pastor, their leadership team, just understand the cost of all the systems together and maintaining it? And it's a very tricky mm-hmm. thing to have a voice.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good. I think there's a few things in there. I wouldn't be the one to write a book on this and say, here's what all the answers are. But I think the couple of things I would want to do is, in that I've enjoyed doing in the past, is to be known as the person that says yes. Mm-hmm. Like, right. So if leadership says, hey, we want to go, gosh, we've got this amazing idea and we want you and your team to go X, Y, Z. If that's the vision, that's what they're trying to accomplish, I want to say yes. And it's okay if it's a qualified yes. Maybe it's a yes, absolutely. Hey, by the way, this may cost $500,000 and we can't get to all the rest of this stuff this mm-hmm. month. Is that okay? Or whatever it is. I heard Jill Gilley, she's at Eastside Christian Church and just a fantastic leader. I saw her at a conference leading a thing, and I heard her coaching someone on her team. And he had said, oh, no, we don't have that. And she corrected him really quickly and said something to the effect of, oh, hey, that's probably not how we want to lead. Maybe we should lead with an answer like, yes, it just may cost more than we expected. And I was like, that's brilliant. Because the person's like, hey, I need another microphone here tonight. And it was like, oh, I mean, that's like a really big, but her perspective is, yeah, anything's possible. It just may cost a little more than we were thinking. And so I think, you know, back to the question of if leadership is going, hey, we want LED walls everywhere and the rest of the system is dying. And I think, you know, if that's what leadership is valuing and that's what they see is going to get them down the road, then great. If you have the opportunity to ask some questions to say, hey, you know, help me to understand values here, so that I can help protect those values beyond just the upgrade or beyond just getting LED walls. Does this speak to other experiential values that as a technical director or video director or whatever you are, that I might be able to carry this out in other ways too? How does this play a role into the experience that we're trying to create? So anyway, I think some questions there and leading with yes and understanding what are we trying to accomplish and making sure we're aligned with that mission is the foundation of a really good relationship.
Blake, that's like what you love to say to me all the time. Toby, I'll say yes, but it will cost X.
You know, that was a big, this is getting real meta. That was a big step in me and Toby's relationship when I stopped thinking about, can I do that with current resources? Like, as you're saying, like, I don't have to say no all the time. I can say yes. How much money you got?
Totally. Yeah, that's so good. Right. Yeah. And I think they're like you're saying, like you're drilling into something really awesome there, Blake, of, you know, it's not just about, can you do that? But can you, like, we're being asked, can we facilitate that? Can we lead at that level? And maybe that doesn't actually mean me. Maybe I've done 65 hours this week, you know, and week after week, maybe I need to go home and hang out with the family, but What are my resources available to me that I can still get that done? Have I empowered volunteer teams? Do we have other staff that's equipped to make really good decisions that can go run with that? Do we have availability to contract some people to go take care of that? But absolutely, I think that's pretty key leading beyond just the personal level.
Luke, are there any, one thing or a few things that you think, if every church would just do this, it would, their systems would last longer, or these conversations about upgrades would be easier, or, what are those kind of almost pet peeves, but you wish churches would do them?
Yeah. Well, I think, on the equipment side, I think the one thing is making sure that, you have a capital expenditure plan for your technology. It's kind of going back to one of the conversations we had earlier of leadership having a little bit of a black hole on technology. And how often have you heard this of like, what? We need to replace that? We just replaced it 15 years ago. And they're being totally sincere.
Yeah.
Of like, we just replaced it 15 years ago. And, a lot of our, not every system, this isn't blanket, but a lot of systems, we should anticipate replacing them every 10 to 15 years. And that's not a blanket. There's a lot of nuance to that of what that is. But the best time to be planning for that is as soon as you install a new system. So like back to that reference of the L-Acoustics array and all the subs hanging in the air, the best time to go ahead and plan for and to set your team up for success of replacing that is when it goes in. Go ahead and start the time and go, okay, audio system, you don't need to do every line and every microphone and every XLR cable, how long, don't do that. But if you can go through your main systems, audio system, video system, lighting, when was that last replaced? How well is it working? Is it still meeting the requirements and the value that our leadership has for the service? And then when do we expect that we'll need a budget for replacement? And it doesn't mean that you're going to replace it then, but it's really helpful to have a roadmap to say, hey, we just installed this audio system. We should probably schedule for its replacement, which is going to be maybe X amount of dollars in whatever you say, 10, 12, 15 years. We should go ahead and schedule a replacement for then. And it doesn't mean that you have to replace it then, but it's at least on the books, where your executive team can come to you and say, hey, Blake, we actually put a PA down, 10 years ago, set this year, how are things working? And you go, actually, it's working great. Great. So defer it till next year and keep moving. But at least that they know, and they're not being caught off guard by all of these last minute urgent requests when you're coming to them because this failed. Hey, guess what? This failed. Oh, hey, guess what? This failed. Because it ends up making you look really bad as a technical leader. And it makes your executive team look really bad too, because they're reporting up. So they're going, man, we're not hitting the budget. Why not? And they've got to defend that. And so sometimes technical teams feel like, man, I'm not being resourced. And executive teams are going, hey, I didn't know. And you're asking me for the third, fourth, fifth time this year. So it's just so helpful when you can lead up, you can put together a roadmap, you can help empower them with what this might look like to keep all this on a schedule. And that way we just have information and we're not caught off guard, because, the most painful thing is talking to some of these churches that they have big systems that they installed 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And now it's literally going to cost them more money than they have to fix it and to go at it again. And so that's just not a great place to be in if you didn't know and you didn't plan on it all along. So anyway, there's great people out there that can help plan on that stuff. And there's a lot of good resources. We've got a resource that can help churches plan in that way to help just forecast. I think that's a big pro.
Yeah. The best time to plant a tree was 30 years ago. The next best time is tomorrow. I really like that. Just thinking ahead and if Toby needs something from me, cause in this role play, like you're kind of functioning as the pastor, mm-hmm. I'm a little bit of the tech, like, yes, you need to equip me, but also I don't need to come. If I bring you emergencies all the time, if I'm never forecasting ahead, sure. Like if I'm asking for whatever X amount of stuff.
Yeah, firing you wouldn't be a joke anymore.
Yeah, like that's just, I don't know. You got to mitigate emergencies. That's easy for me to say. I deal with substantially smaller budgets. All right, Luke. So if I was going to go ahead and name your episode on this like moment right here, I'd call it Integrator Hot Seats and Soapboxes, because I feel like we've given you a lot of chances to get on the soapbox and we've asked you some hard questions to get on the hot seat. And this next one is another hot seat. How do we manage the integrator relationship better? Like I was actually at dinner with a tech recently and they were talking about just how complex it is to find an integrator, to work with an integrator. How do you know which one to trust? How do you work with them well? We recently had this is a separate friend. We had a church reach out and ask us, they're needing some help. They're $500,000 into a project and their integrator walked away.
Oof.
Yeah, that feeling in your gut, like that hit all of us here. I mean, how do you avoid that moment? How do you work with one well? Like, also, we should say in this moment, Luke didn't pay us to be on the podcast.
No.
Nobody can pay to be on the Church Here podcast. We just genuinely...
Oh, you can pay.
No,
you
can't.
We will accept payments to be on the Church Here podcast, Tom.
No one can pay to be on the podcast.
Get the house right. Just send it over. And
that's right.
We just think...
We'll put you on. It'll be great.
Yeah, no one can pay to be on. We think Luke has great advice and want to, you know, share with our friends. So there was a lot in there, but on the hot seat of managing that relationship well with your integrator, any thoughts?
Yeah, man, I feel for your friend there. That is terrible, right? I don't know. I don't want to be to oversimplify it. So I'm sure it's a pretty multifaceted answer there that would be best. But I think it's probably akin to a lot of relationships we have, right? Where, you know, I think you want to find people that you genuinely trust. Like find people that are in it for the right reasons with you. They're not just selling insurance kind of thing because they just want to collect a paycheck. I think it's pretty important to be building partnerships, like relationships long-term, where you both need each other to win, right? The church needs the company to win because guess what? The church is going to be calling them back and expecting that company is going to be helping them for the next 10 to 15 years. So it's got to be a relationship more than just a transaction. And I've been caught in that at times too, of looking at relationships as transactions. And you're really just shooting yourself in the foot when we're doing that. So I would just suggest, man, find a team that you have confidence in. Find a team that, I mean, you're going to be working on this project maybe for 18 months together. Who do you want to be working with for 18 months? Do you trust them? Do they feel like a good guys and good gals that you want to be hanging out with? And then, you know, ask for references. Talk to other similar organizations and churches that have been down the road with them before. And I think the last one is just make sure that their pulse and their purpose aligns with your guys's, right? I'm sure there are some companies out there that are just trying to make a buck, but I know there's a lot of really good companies out there that really care about the church, that really cares about the church growing and excelling, where it's not just about profit, right? You know, but it's about building long-term relationship and wanting to see them win, because that's definitely our heartbeat. And I don't think we're the only ones out there like that.
Yeah, what I really hear in that, if I was summing that up, is like the time to plan your next system is not, you know, I need it tomorrow, I need it 10, 15 years from now. Sounds similarly on the integrator relationships. Like if you think you might, like you should just go ahead and already start establishing those. Like it doesn't even matter. I'm putting words in your mouth now. It doesn't even matter if you have a project right now. Like go ahead and make friends. Go ahead and find people.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely, man. I think that's great.
So, Luke, we have been pulling wisdom out of your beautiful redheaded brain for a while now, and you've been very gracious. And so we're going to ask for another one. We like to wrap all our episodes in a cute little bow called our tech takeaway. Do you have a just overarching thing that you would share with church production and worship leaders out there that would make their Sundays better? Could be technical, relational, philosophical, any of the olds.
Yeah, man. I think the one thing I would go back and coach myself on, if I could, is it's all about people, right? There's a lot of tasks out there. There's a lot of things we got to do and accomplish. But, you know, the reality is in 10 years, no one cares. No one's going to remember the things you accomplish, the services that you pulled off, regardless of how awesome they are. Everyone's going to forget. But the people you invest in, the relationships that you care about, and the way that you're there for people, that makes all the difference in the world. So, you know, how do you see beyond the task to see the person and really care for them? I think that's where it's at. So that would be my advice. That's the thing that I'm trying to apply on a daily basis too. And gosh, I'm not perfect at it, but I'm trying to get better.
You know, we're all just trying to get better, or at least we should be, you know. Me and Toby are always, Toby's always trying to tell me to get better. So it's good advice. It's good advice.
Luke. And it's just hasn't happened yet. Well, I'm waiting. That's why I hired Brian to try and make you better.
Oh, no. So Brian's job performance is hinging upon my performance now?
Pretty much. I think on his job description is fix Blake.
Oh, boy. Well, hopefully he's not fixing me like I fix my pets. Well, Luke, what would you like to plug here, man? Again, you can't pay to be on the Church Gear podcast. Like, we just think Luke has great advice and think he does great stuff. So what would you point people towards?
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, if there's any way we can help, we'd be glad to. Feel free to reach out to our team. You can follow us online or check out our website or just shoot us a message. But if there's any way we can help, as you guys are looking at technology and how to plan well, how to build new systems, that kind of stuff, we'd be glad to be a part of that conversation.
And what is your website?
That's houseright.com.
Come get your house right. I mean, that's just right.
Yeah.
Well, Luke, thanks for coming on, man, and sitting on the hot seat and stepping on the soapbox for us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We hope to see you back next week for more absurd stories, tech takeaways, and overall buffoonery here at the Church Gear Studios.
Blake, I don't know, our listeners know, I write a monthly newsletter here at Church Gear, just updating everyone on the happenings and the goings on, and I highlight one of our team members, and it's, you know, generally half the staff reads it, maybe. What'd you say?
You know, open rates and click-through rates I track for email. I don't on this. I can't give you a readout.
So I decided to place a little Easter egg in last month's. And so I made up a word, and you know the word because you read the newsletter. What's the word?
I can type it. I can't pronounce it. It's like imkip.
I'm so embarrassed right now. It's Uinob.
Uinob,
which is, it stands for underwear is not optional, Blake.
Yeah, which is a Pharisee and a farce.
So I just want to invite any of our listeners who are still with us to be part of this fun Easter egg that you now know the word Uinob. So if you see us at your church or at events, you can come up to Blake and say, hey, Blake, Uinob.
Oh, boy. Sure. But what would be cooler is if you share this episode and say Toby is crazy.
And hashtag Uinob. Okay, Blake, I've been working on some jingles for our new website launch. So I've got churchy, churchy, church, church gear.
Toby, what have I told you about singing on the podcast? It doesn't work. But you know what is working? Our new website. You can actually get it to load on your phone. You can actually buy a new piece of gear without your phone bursting into flames.
Well, what if I spelled it out like C-H-U-R-C-G-E-R?
Toby, stop. That is not working. But you know what is working? The search bar on our website. You can actually search speakers and speakers will appear. No joke, that didn't always work.
Okay, what if I just did something like go to churchgear.com?
You know what? That one works.